Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Zvachim Daf Ayin Dalid. We are holding on Daf Ayin Dalid Amar Aleph. We are at Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav Baravua, four lines into the page on Daf Ayin Dalid Amar Aleph. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas' mother, Golda Bar Simcha, Allah Shalom. What we're going to talk about today is the following. First, we're going to talk about when can we be Tola, that if, let's say, you have a Tarovis of Isser, there is one item of Isser that gets mixed with other items of Heter, and the whole Tarovis is now Usser, but then one item falls out, or is destroyed, or is gone. So now can you be Tola that it was the Usser one that fell out, and now the whole Tarovis maybe becomes Mutter? So when can we and when can't we be Tola in such things? Then the Gemara is going to discuss various Svekos with relation to a Tarovis, meaning you have an item of Isser that gets mixed in with items of Heter, and then from that Tarovis something gets comes out and gets mixed in with other items of Heter. So do we apply a din of Svek Sveka when it comes to a Tarovis, both when it comes to Avodah Zarah, as well as when it comes to Shar Isurim? Then the Gemara on Amud Beis is going to tell us three different Chidushim of how a Tarovis of Truma can possibly become Mutter. That even though a Tarovis of Truma, when you have barrels of Truma, that each one does not become, a large barrel of Truma does not become Batel in 100 other barrels, are there ways that it can become mutter, that it can become batel in some way or another? Then the Gemara is going to have three different explanations of how there could be a tarovas. The Mishnah gives it tells us that you have a case where there's a trefa that gets mixed in with your other animals that are kosher to bring as a karban. So the Mishnah said, oh, so you have to let them all graze till they develop a mum and then use the money to buy other karbanas. Had this whole story. How does that ever happen? A trefa means that the animal is like deathly ill. Just look for the sick one, right? Look for the one that doesn't have arms and legs, right? That's the one, that's the trefa. So how does that ever happen that you have a trefa that gets mixed in with others? So the Gemara is going to have three explanations of how that could be possible. We're probably going to try to finish a little early today. Officially, I'm supposed to be speaking at Tinek at 8:45 this morning. That's not happening, but nevertheless, we'll try to. Okay, so let's get right to it. So says the Gemara. If you have one ring of Avodah Zarah that gets mixed in with 100 rings of Heter, that 100 Tabaos of Heter, the Ravya writes that the 100 obviously is Lav Dafka over here. It could be with less than 100, it could be with more than 100. The reason we mention 100 is because in the Hemshech of the Sugya, we're going to talk about Truma that gets mixed in, and the number 100 is critical when it comes to Truma. But the point is, one Tabaos, one ring of Avodah Zarah gets mixed in with a whole bunch of perfectly good rings, a whole bunch of perfectly fine and mutter rings. So now all of the tabos are usher, because maybe any ring you pull out might be the isser one. The Chabamar goes there that Avodah Zarah afilu be'elef is not batel. That's a Mishnah Mesechs Avodah Zarah Dafayin Dalid, that the Mishnah says that elu asurin v'osrin b'kol shehu, that the following items are usher, and not only that, in a taroves, even a kol shehu, even a little tiny bit, is going to ask the whole tarovis. And on the list, Yainesech va'avodas kochavim, Avodah Zarah. And that's what the Rambam paskins in Uchsavos Chavim Perek Zayin Alecha test, that Avodah Zcham umisham sheha, and all the tkrovos of Avodah Zarah are osir b'kol shehein. So the Rambam's pretty clear that it's not only the Avodah Zarah atzma, but even tkrovos Avodah Zarah, even that which you offer for Avodah Zarah, even that which was used in the service of Avodah Zarah, is also osir b'kol shehu. However, not everyone agrees. The Ravya and the Shita Mukbetzes suggest that the reason the Taba'as is not Batel is not on account of it being Avodah Zarah, because it's not. It's only a Tekrovus Avodah Zarah, and maybe Tekrovus Avodah Zarah can become Batel. It's on account of it being a Davar Chashuv. It's a ring, and Dvarim Chashuvim do not become Batel. So maybe that's the issue over here. But bottom line is, you have this Avodah Zarah ring, so it's Usser. It gets mixed in with a whole bunch of Mutter rings. Now the whole Tarovus is Usser. But then, V'nafla Achas Mehem Li Yamagadol. Then one of the rings in this Tarovas falls into the Yamagadol and is gone forever. So now, Hutru Kulan, all the other rings now become Mutter. Darminan Hachdenafal Hainu Di Isura, because we have the right to assume that the one that fell into Yamagadol, that is the one that is Asur, and the rest of them are going to be Mutter. This is the Chiddush of Rav, that the one that fell into Yamagadol is going to is going to be mutter. Now, this concept of taliyah, that we have the right to assume that the one that is no longer here was the problematic one, is able to be utilized only because this whole din is a din drabanan, that the whole tarov is going to be aser is a din drabanan. Mida oraisa, it's batel barov. The rabbanan were machmir that avodah zara doesn't become batel. So the rabbanan, once they have such a chumrah, they're willing to be makil if there's a chance that the original iser isn't here at all, that the original iser has fallen away. That's what Tosos writes on Davayin Gimlam Beis, and the Rashba as well. The Rav Yah writes that the reason they're makil to be told of the iser by a taba'as shenafla is because after the nefila you now have a svek sveka. Maybe the taba'as hasur had fallen away, and even if the taba'as hasur is not the one that fell into the Yam HaMelech, maybe whatever taba'as you're taking right now is not the taba'as ha'asura. The Netziv in Rami Sada says that, you know, if you look at Rashi over here, Rashi explains that we're talking about Tashmishi Avodah Zarah, not the Avodah Zarah itself. And he says probably the reason Rashi says that is because this whole din of Tole doesn't apply if it's the Avodah Zarah itself. Meaning, it's not just the Machlokas, but whether Tashmishi Avodah Zarah are not Batel or are Batel. It's more than that. Meaning, once you're going to say that something is not batel, the idea that if it falls into the, that if one falls into the Yam HaMelech, they have this kula, that you could assume it's the Aser one that fell into the Yam HaMelech, does that apply only to Tashmishi Avodah Zarah, or does that apply to Avodah Zarah itself? So the Netziv is medayik from Rashi, that the reason Rashi says that this whole sugya is about Mishamshi Avodah Zarah and not Avodah Zarah itself is because this kula won't apply when it comes to Avodah Zarah. The kula of being told that it was the Yisr one that fell will not apply to real Avodah Zarah. The Rav Yah says that we're talking about the Takrovus of Avodah Zarah, and he emphasized that even by Takrovus of Avodah Zarah, which is not batel, you could be told that the Taba'as was Nevda, but from the Rashba it sounds like we're talking about the Avodah Zarah itself, and nevertheless we are told that it was the Usher one that had fallen into Yam HaMelech. Now Tosos points out that there are two conditions in order to be matur the Tarovus through this mechanism of Taliyah, to assume that the one that fell into Yam HaMelech was the Asur one. Two conditions in order to activate that heter called Taliyah. Condition number one is that the Taba'as has to fall on its own. You can't throw it into Yam HaMelech. It has to be something that happened on its own. But if you threw it into Yam HaMelech, says Tosus, even b'shogeg, then we do not apply Taliyah. It can't be something that you actively did. Second condition is it has to be irretrievable. If it's something that fell away or it fell into a different area, but it's still retrievable, then we do not assume that we're going to apply this din of Taliyah. But be that as it may, this is the great chiddush of Rav, that you have a Tarovus where they're all Aser, one of them falls into Yam HaMelech, now they all become Mutter, says Rav Nachman. Rav challenges Rav Nachman, how could you say in the name of Rav that we're told that the Aser one is the one that fell into Yam HaMelech, but we have a Mishnah that if one Karban Chatos Psula gets mixed in with others, Zvachim Ksherim, Afilu Achas Peribo Yomusu Kulan, we say even if it's 1 in 10,000, they all have to die. Now that implies that they all have to die even after the first one dies. Meaning once the first one dies, shouldn't we be able to apply Taliyah? They're not all going to die at the same time, right? Meaning by nature, you're going to leave them all to graze until they develop a mum or whatever. So one of them is just going to drop dead at some point. You have 10,000 of them. So as soon as the first one drops dead, can't you say, that must have been the Yisr one, and therefore the rest of them are going to be mutter? Yet the Mishnah doesn't say that. So apparently the Mishnah is assuming that there are like 8 ways of learning the Gemara's Kasha, but that's the simplest way. Why don't we say that the one that died first is the Yisr one, and therefore all the rest of them are going to be mutter? Meaning if Rav is really correct, that when a Taba'as of Avodah Zarah gets mixed with other Taba'us, and then one Taba'as falls into the Yam HaMelech, that you have the right to assume assume that the one that fell into Yav HaMelech was the Yisur one, and the rest of them are therefore Mutter? Shouldn't we say the same thing about this Tarovis of Behemos that we have in our Mishnah? So Amar Leh, Rav Damar Karabi Eliezer, Rav who's Mekil to apply to Leah, assumes like the Sheet of Rabbi Eliezer Ditnan, because we have a Mishnah that we're going to have later on, in a few days from now, about a varim of a behema that's a balas mum that get mixed in with a varim of perfectly kosher karbanos. Now, all of the evarim cannot be brought on the mizbeach because in the mix you have evarim that are from a balas mum. And Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, im karav harosh alech me'en yikrivu kol haroshim kulan, that as long as you were already makriv the rosh of one of them, so then it could be that the one you were makriv was the balas mum, and therefore all the other roshim can be brought on the mizbeach. So just like Rabbi Eliezer is mekil to be tola that the one that was already hukrav was the iser, so too Rav is mekil to be tola that the ring that fell into the Yam HaMelech was the iser, and enochinami in the case of our Mishnah that Rav and Rabbi Eliezer would probably hold that when, if one of the animals dies first, good, that was the iser, and then the rest of them are going to be mutter. But the author of our Mishnah doesn't assume like Rabbi Eliezer. So now Rava challenges Rav Nachman even further. How can you say that Rav holds like Rabbi Eliezer? V'ha'amar Rabbi Elazar lo hitir Rabbi Eliezer el shnayim shnayim. That even Rabbi Eliezer, who allows you to bring the rest of the roshim, you already makriv one rosh that you could assume that that was the balmum, and he lets you bring the rest of the evarim, the rest of the roshim of the other animals on the mizbech, he'll only allow you to do two at a time. Because if you're doing two at a time, you know for sure that one of the roshim that you're bringing is for sure kosher. There was only one balmum that was mixed in the whole group, and that balmum only had one head, right? So once one head was brought on the mizbech, that we're willing to be told that the one that was already brought is the problematic one, is the balmum, but only to insofar as we allow you to now bring two at a time. Because if you're bringing two at a time, at least you know one for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that one of the two that you're bringing is a kosher one. So agav, the kosher one, so then we allow the other one as well. Aval echad echad, lo, but Rabbi Eliezer does not allow echad echad. So how could Rav say that when one ring falls into the amel, so now you could take any ring you want, they're all going to be mutter? Shouldn't he at least say that you need to take two at a time? So amar lei, ananami tarti kamina, yeah, you have 10 fingers. So take two rings at a time, and that's all you're allowed to do. You're not allowed to take one at a time, enochinami, because Rav is perfectly aligned with Rabbi Eliezer. So I'm Rabbi Yudam Rav. Tabash al avodas chavim shenasarva b'meya tabaos. You have an avodazar ring that gets mixed in with 100 other rings. Uparshu arbam l'makam echad v'shishim l'makam acher. Then the pile gets split. So right now all the rings are aser, but then the pile is split. 40 on one side, 60 on the other side. But parsha achas me'arba'im, if one of the, from the, so right now both piles are aser, right? Meaning the pile with the 40 is aser, the pile with the 60 is aser, but then parsha achas me'arba'im, one ring from the pile of 40 rings went and got mixed in with other heter rings, eina oseres, it does not aser that second taroves, but achas mishishim oseres, if one ring from the pile of 60 got mixed in with other heter rings, it aser the entire pile. Well, Maishna achas me'arba'im delo, why is it that if one of the 40 got mixed in, we don't assume it asers the entire pile? Darmina nisura beruba isay, because we assume that the problematic ring is in the group of 60. So achas mishishim nami amrinan isura beruba isay. But by that same logic, shouldn't we say that if one of the 60 rings then gets mixed in with other rings, so the iser remains with the 59 that were left behind. It remains with the rove. And therefore, why do we say that if one of the 60 gets mixed in with others, that it's going to be problematic? So answers the Gemara, that Rav didn't make this chiluk, and therefore even if one of the 60 were to fall into the other rings, they would all be mutter, because we are tola that the taba'as that's aser is in the rove of the taba'os that remain behind. Ella im pirshu arba'im kulon l'makom echad ein osros, but shishim l'makom echad osros. The real chiluk that Rav made was not if one of the 40 or one of the 60 gets mixed in with the new taroves of heter. No, what Rav really meant to say is, if if the 40 rings, all of them, the entire pile of 40, gets mixed in with a whole bunch of other rings, then ein osos, those 40 rings do not aser the tarovas, because there are two tzadei suffik to be makel with. First of all, the tabaas that you're picking up, any tabaas you pick up from this new pile may not be from the 40 that fell in. And second of all, even if it is from the 40 that fell in, maybe the iser was never in that 40. It was in the 60 that remained behind, or that remained in the other pile. So then we could be told that the tabaas, that's aser, is in the 60, not in the 40. But shishim l'makom echad, but if 60 rings all fell into a new taroves, then osros, then they aser, because we have to assume that the tabaas, that's aser, is in this pile of 60. This entire pile of 60 has now been moved to another, you know, now been mixed in with more rings. So any ring you pick up, you only have one suffix. Is it the problematic one, or is it not the problematic one? And that's why it's going to be aser. So kiamrisa kamei de Shmuel, when we said this chiddush of Rav to Shmuel, Amar li Shmuel responded, hanach lavoz chum shesfeko svek svek asura tzof ha'olam. He says, no kulas when it comes to avodah zarah. When it comes to avodah zarah, no matter how many svekos and svek svekos, I don't care if it's from the 40, from the 60, how many times it falls into other tarovas, it's all going to be asura tzof kol ha'olam. There's no such hatter. So Meisvei, the Gemara challenges Shmuel. Really, by avodah zara, we're going to be extra machmir that no matter how many sfeikos, suffik avodah chav masura usfek sfeiko mutares. The Brisa says that a suffik avodah zara is aser, but a svek sfeiko of avodah zara is mutar. And the Brisa elaborates. Ketzad, for example, koshal avodah chavim shenafal otzer malei kosos. You have a kos of avodah zara that falls into a warehouse full of kosos of hatter. Kulan. They're all asur because it's only one suffik. Pirish echad mehen l'ribo. If one from that otzar now falls into 10,000 other kosos of heter, and then umeribo l'ribo, and then one from that 10,000 falls into 10,000 other kosos mutarin. So you see beferish in the brisa that a svek sveko when it comes to avodah zarah is also mutar. Not like Shmuel. Shmuel said, I don't care. Sofko olam suffik svek sveko. It's all going to be asur. No, there is a point that it becomes mutar. You see beferish in the Brisa. So says Gemara, that's not a problem for Shmuel. Tanaihi, it's a machlokas tanaim. Titania, we have a Brisa that tells the following machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rimone Badan, that phrase, that name should be familiar to us. Rimone Badan, that was one of the six magical items that are so chashuv that they can never ever become batel. So let's say you have Rimone Badan that are aser, they're arla, they're truma, not avodah zarah, they're arla, they're truma, something like that. And they're very, very chashuv. So also they do not become batel. They aser in a tarovus even if it's just one rimon. Ketzad, so for example, nafal echad mehen. You have one of these rimone badon that falls litoch ribo into 10,000 other rimonim, ume ribo l'ribo, and then afterwards one of the 10,001 rimonim gets taken out and falls into another 10,000 rimonim asurin. They're all going to be aser. Even though in the second ribo there's a svek sveka on every rimon that you take. Maybe the rimon that fell in from the first ribo was really a rimon of heter, and even if it was a rimon of iser, maybe the rimon you're taking right now is not the rimon that came from the first taroves. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, l'ribo asurin, if it fell into 10,000 rimonim of heter, they're all asur, because every rimon only has one suffix, but a miribo l'shlosha, but if one of those rimonim from the ribo falls into three other rimonim, the Gemara is going to discuss why three, not two. Umishlosha lemakom acher, and if from those three it falls somewhere else, even in that place there was only one other rimon, then mutter. Then you're allowed to be nana from the taroves, because as soon as the one rimon fell from the ribo, from the 10,000, from the first 10,000 into the three, they're right away all mutter, because every rimon right away at that point already has a svek sveka, right? The need for the second for the last taroves is not abundantly clear. Once you have a svek sveka, it's already going to be mutter. So the chacham were not machmir in such a case. So now you could say Rav is simply following Rabbi Shimon, and therefore by avodas chachavim he's also mekel by a svek sveka. And Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda that we're not going to be mekel on avodah zara by a svek sveka. So it says Gemara, wait, Shmuel holds like who? Shmuel damar kaman. Shmuel fits nobody over here. Ik Rabbi Yehuda. If he says like Rabbi Yehuda, who asers all the rimonei badan afilu b'shari surim aser. Rabbi Yehuda wasn't talking about avodah zara. He was talking about rimonei badan that are orla, that are truma. So Rabbi Yehuda was machmir even by shari surim. Shmuel didn't say that. Shmuel said when it comes to avodah zara, and so we're always going to be machmir. But by shari surim, Shmuel was mekil. So you want to attach him to Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda was machmir by shari surim. He was machmir by rimonei badan, which is arla truma, something like that. And ikar Rabbi Shimon. And if Shmuel is holding like Rabbi Shimon in this brisa, who's matir the svek sveka, then afil vavavazcham nami shari. Rabbi Shimon, as far as we know, is mekil even by avodah zara. V'chitema shayni le Rabbi Shimon ben avazcham the shari surim. Maybe you'll say who says that Rabbi Shimon is mekil by avodah zara? He was talking about rimonei badan. He wasn't talking about avodah zara. So maybe Shmuel is perfectly aligned with Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon was only so mekil by shari surim, but by avodah zara, maybe he'll be machmir. No, because Allah had the tanya, because then the brisa that says safek avodah masura svek sveka mutaras money lo Rabbi Yehuda v'lo Rabbi Shimon. Then the brisa that said that when it comes to avodah zara, a safek is aser, but a svek sveka is mutar would be nobody. Meaning, if Rabbi Yehuda is machmir even by shari surim, and obviously by avodah zara, and you want a tanya, Rabbi Shimon's machmir by avodah zara also. Well, then who's the one that's mekel by svek svek of avodah zara? No one's going to be left to be mekel. So must be that when Rabbi Shimon is mekel by shari surim, he's mekel even by avodah zara. And therefore Shmuel, who makes this chilik between avodah zara and shari surim, is going like nobody. So this is the challenge to Shmuel. So says the Gemara. Answer, the Gemara is going to give two answers, at least according to one way of reading the Gemara. Answer number one is Liolam Rabbi Shimon, that really the Tana of that price is Rabbi Shimon, who's Matir Svek Sveka, Bein Bishari Surena, Bein Bavel Dezara, and Rav holds like Rabbi Shimon. Ushmuel, Savarlak Rabbi Yehuda Bechada, Upalagale Bechada. Shmuel, how do we justify Shmuel? He paskins like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Avel Dezara, that we should be Machmir by Avel Dezara, and he paskins like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to Shari Surim. So he thinks we should be Mekel by Shari Surim. Sayinachinami. He doesn't need a Tana that holds his exact, cocktail of Shitos, right? Meaning, as long as he's in each case, he has a Tana to paskin like, that's perfectly fine. So he holds like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Avodah Zarah, and he holds like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to Shari Surin. Now, says Gemara, just parenthetically, we mentioned in this Braisa, Amar Mar, Meribo L'Shlosha, that we said that if a Rimon fell from the 10,000, from the Tarovis of the 10,000 and the one, into another Tarovis of three other Rimonim, and we Shoshal Mokam Acher, Mutter. So then you're allowed to eat from the tarovis of the three or the tarovis of the makom acher. So maishla shlosha, why shlosha? Meaning you just need a rove, right? Meaning that's all we're really looking for over here. So it says more dikaruba, it's because there's a rove. Well, shnayim nami ikaruba. If it would have fallen into two, that's also a rove. Two against one is also a rove, right? So why do we come up with this number three? So it says more maishlosha diktani tarti vahu. When we said three, we didn't mean a 3-to-1 ratio, we meant a 2-to-1 ratio, and it's three in total. Okay, that's an unusual way of speaking, but that's what it means. Okay, so now says the Gemara, according to different ways of interpreting the next five words of Gemara, but the next six words, but we're going to assume that this is going to back to answer how Shmuel makes any sense. I mean, again, Shmuel was mechalik, where he said, when it comes to Shari Surim, Svek Sveka is going to be mutter. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, Afilu Svek Sveka, Svek Svek Sveka, it's all Ad Sof Olam, it's all going to be Aser. We said Shmuel aligns with no Tana. So answer number one of how Shmuel works out is, yeah, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Legabe Avodah Zarah, another way that Shmuel could be justified is when Shmuel says that Avodah Zarah, even Svek Svek, is always going to be Aser, that we're only Machmir by Avodah Zarah, is Savala Rabbi Eliezer. He's assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. What Rabbi Eliezer? Who Rabbi Eliezer? Not any Rabbi Eliezer we've mentioned up until this point. There is a Sugya Masech Avodah Zarah where it talks about an oven that was heated with Asherah wood, which is also. So if it's a brand new oven and the very first time you heated it up you used Asherah wood, the whole oven is going to be asur, you have to destroy it. But if it was an oven that had been used previously and it was heated up and now you used it with Asherah wood, so then you could just let it cool down and then bake in it afterwards, after it cools down. Now, let's say you baked using the heat of that Asherah wood, So the bread that you bake is going to be asr ba'anah. Let's say that bread gets mixed in with other bread, and then from that tarovis, one piece of bread gets mixed in with other bread. They're all going to be asr ba'anah according to the chachamim. And on that, Rabbi Eliezer says, no, you could be matir the tarovis by taking money, the value of that bread, and throwing it into the Yam HaMelech. The money, the value of what of the hana that you got from the Eitzim. But other than that, the whole tarovis would be asr, no matter how many tarovis there were. So says the Gemara, Shmuel's holding like Rabbi Eliezer, that no matter how many sveikos and sveikos and sveikos, until you're molech hana liyam HaMelech, they're all going to be asr. So that's who Shmuel's following. You're right, Shmuel fits neither Rabbi Yehuda, who's machmir bein b'avod zar bein b'shari surim, nor Rabbi Shimon, who's mekel bein b'avod zar bein b'shari surim. He's going like Rabbi Eliezer, who has this special chumrah be'avod zara. That's how Rashi understands in his first interpretation. The problem is that there are 1,000 problems with that. First of all, the Gemara says that Shmuel is holding like Rabbi Eliezer. According to, in that Mishnah, he'd be like either one, like Rabbi Eliezer or the Chum. Rabbi Eliezer just had this kula that you could be molech hana liyam melech, but they both held that it's aser with a safek and svek sveka and svek svek sveka. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is it's mefurish and maseches psachim that Rabbi Eliezer holds this shita not only by avodah zarah but also by shari surim. Ooh, that's a problem for Shmuel, right? Problem number three is this Mishnah in Avodah Zarah is never mentioned in our Gemara, right? Meaning we're saying, he holds like Rabbi Eliezer. Which Rabbi Eliezer? Figure it out. Go look through Shas. And you're like, where do we ever do that? Especially since like 10 lines ago, we just mentioned Rabbi Eliezer about something else. So maybe it has to do with that Rabbi Eliezer. That's a clue. So that's why Tosos disagrees with Rashi. And he says, no, we're misunderstanding the whole Gemara. The Gemara is going back to, the Gemara is not going back to explain the Shita of Shmuel. It's coming to be Miyashev, that which we just asked, why give an example of falling into three? Even if it were fallen into two, you'd have Rov Heter. So that's what the Gemara is saying, that we're following the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that if you have Bali Mumin that gets mixed in with Zvachim Ksherim, and you brought the Rosh of Echad Mehem, you brought the Rosh of one of them, then you're allowed to be Makrav all the other Roshim. And Rabbi Elazar explained that Rabbi Eliezer only allows bringing Shtayim, two at a time, right? That weird we just had. So that's why the Rimon has to fall into a group of three, because you need, with the Tziruf of this Rimon, that there are going to be four, and therefore you could be Nenna from them two at a time. Because if you have an odd number, you're not going to be able to be Nenna from them two at a time. So that's the Rabbi Eliezer that we're referring to over here. Okay, so that's the Machlokas Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. Next, Amrei Shlakish. Chavish shel tshuma shenisarva b'mei chavios. Let's say you have a barrel of tshuma gets mixed in with 100 other barrels. V'nafla achas mei liyam HaMelech. And one of these barrels fall into the Yam HaMelech. Hutru kulan, all the rest of the chavios are mutter. Tamrina hach de nafal, di sura nafal. We assume the one that fell into the Yam HaMelech was the Isser. So Gemara says, why do you have to tell me this din again? Didn't we start the daf with this exact din? We didn't talk about a chavis of tshuma. We spoke about a taba'as of avodah zarah. But it was the same idea. There was a tarov. It was problematic. One item from the Tarovas fell into the Yam HaMelech, and now we said we're good to go. So why is this any different? So Rav Nachman Vitzvich Reish Lakish. We need Rav Nachman's Chiddush about the Tabas of Avodah Zarah and Reish Lakish's Chiddush about the Chavis of Truma. Dimi Rav Nachman, because if we only had Rav Nachman's Chiddush, Hava Amina Hani Mili Avodz Chavim Dein Lamatirin, I would say we need to be makel by the Avodah Zarah, because there's no way to be matirid otherwise, meaning the Avodah Zarah is never going to become mutter. So when one falls into the Yam HaMelech, you could assume that was the Avodah Zarah, because that's the only way out. Aval Truma D'yesh L'matirin. But Truma, it's perfectly edible. It could be used. It's just Kohanim have to eat it. So invite your Kohanim friends for a Suda and have them eat it. Meaning it's not the end of the world. So lo, we don't need to rely on Kulas when it comes to Truma. There's a use for this Truma. V'imid Reish Lakish, and if we only would have known the Chiddush of Reish Lakish, Hava Amina, I would have thought that Chavis Diminkara Nefilasa, that when it comes to a barrel of truma, that the when it falls out of the taroves, it's very much nicker, so the chum don't have to be choshesh, that maybe if we're makel on this, people will be matir taroves even without a barrel falling into the Yam HaMelech, that people will just be makel on any taroves. Alva tabas, lo minkar in the filasa, but a little tiny ring, that's not so nicker, that's not so recognizable if one falls away. So lo, maybe we don't rely on any such tliya. Tzrichi, that's why we need both about both Reish Lakish and Rav Nachman's Chiddush. Amar Rabbi Lo, Hita Reish Lakish El Chavis Diminkor Nefilasa. The Reish Lakish was only making if it was a barrel full of truma, where it's clearly recognizable that it fell into the Amamelach. Aval Te'ena, but let's say you just have a truma fig that gets mixed in with 99 other Te'enim of Heter, so the whole Tarovis is Aser, and then one Te'ena falls into the Amagadol, then Lo, then we're not going to be Matir the Tarovis, because one little tiny Te'ena, no one's going to notice if it falls, and therefore we have to be Choshesh, that if I'm Mekel in that case, people will be Mekel even when one didn't fall into the Amamelach. Rav Yosef Amar Afilu Te'ena, Kenifilasa Kach Aliyasa, and Rav Yosef says, no, even if it was just one Te'ena, like Rav Nachman, who is Mekel by the Taba'as, we could be Mekel by a Te'ena as well, that even when it's not Minkara, even when it's not so clearly recognizable, we're not going to be Choshesh, that if we're Mekel here, then we're going to have to, then people will get confused and be Mekel when one doesn't fall away. No such chashash. Amar Rav Lazar, another chiddush when it comes to making truma mutter. Chavishal truma, you have a sealed barrel of truma. Shenasarva b'meya chavios. It gets mixed in with 100 other sealed barrels. Now they're all aser because a sealed barrel is a davar chashuv, and a davar chashuv does not become batel. So even though a 100-to-1 ratio is good enough by truma, but not when it's a sealed barrel. So paseach achas mehen, you open up one of the barrels, and then you'll be allowed to drink that barrel, because al atzad, that it's the chulin barrel, so then of course you're allowed to drink the chulin barrel. And even if it's the truma barrel, but once it's opened up, it lost its chashivas. Now it becomes batel in 100 other barrels. V'notel limenu kidei dimua, and you take wine from that barrel in the shear of one hundredth, with the shear of the chavish of truma that gets mixed in with the meya, and you give that to a kohen v'shosa, and you could drink the rest. Yes, Rav Dimi v'kamel ala shmeiter. Rav Dimi was saying over this teaching, Amalei Rav Nachman, gama v'shasi kachazina hacha. He says we see that there's a heter to just continue drinking the whole tarovas of truma by opening one barrel l'chachila. So when did the Chum ever say that a barrel that's stuma is not batel? There's always a simple etzah. Just open one of them, and then it becomes a so ela ema niftecha achas mehen. You're not allowed to do that. It's if it happened. If one was already opened, okay, so now you deal with the b'dievet situation. Amar Rav Hoshaya, chavish al truma shenasarva b'meya v'chamishim chavios. Let's say you have one sealed barrel of truma gets mixed in with 150 barrels of chulin. V'niftuchu meya mehen, and 100 of the barrels were opened up. So those barrels are for sure going to be mutter, because if they're all chulin, then obviously they're mutter. And even if the truma barrel is among them, it's batel 1 in 100, right? In 100-to-1 ratio. So notel mehen kidei dimua. You take from each of these barrels, one 150th, meaning the amount of truma that was mixed in this whole thing. Vishosa, and then you drink the rest. Vishar asurinat shei paschu, and the other 50 barrels that are still stumos, they're asur until they get opened up. We are not automatically makel on the remaining 50 barrels with the assumption that the truma barrel must have been one of the 100, right? We still have to be choshesh that the truma barrel is one of the 50. Fine. Haroveh v'anirveh. The Mishnah went on to say that if you have a variety of psulei hamukdashin, of karbanos psulim that are mixed in with kasher karbanos. So we gave examples. What would be a karban that's pasul? Roveya, nirva, mukta, nevan, esnan, mechir, klayim, trefa. Right. So the Gemara is only going to focus on the trefa one. So you have a trefa animal that gets mixed in with a whole bunch of good, perfectly good karbanos. So we said, what do you do? Oh no, you can't identify which one is the trefa one. So they all have to graze and wait till they develop mumin and the whole story of how to deal with it. Says Gemara, Bishlam akulu lo yodia. I understand every other example the Mishnah gave. If an animal was roveya or nirva or muktza or nevad, there's nothing physical about it that you can identify it with, right? Just because an animal was engaged in avodah zarah or bestiality, right? There's no identifying feature on the animal to be able to identify it. And so I understand how you can have a taroves. But what kind of trefa are we dealing with over here? If the kohen knows which one is the trefa, because it's a trefa by virtue of the fact that it's missing its legs or something like that, find the one without legs and take it out of the taroves, and then the rest of them are going to be fine. But if you don't know which one is the trefa, how do you know that it got mixed in at all? You can't identify what's the trefa. So it says there are three possibilities. Amri Debe Rabbi Yani, All of them have some sort of injury, but some of them were pierced by a thorn. Others were, and one was attacked by a wolf. So the one that was attacked is the trefa. The others are not, but they all look like they have a puncture in their skin. Reish Lakish Amar, second possibility. Kion di Ariv bin Afula, that the Zvachim Ksherim got mixed in with a behema that fell off of a roof, which is a Suffolk trefa. When it falls off of a roof, even though there's no identifying features on the outside of the body. So if you shecht a nefula within 24 hours of its nefila, it's a trefa vada'is, even if afterwards you don't see any simani trefa when you examine the animal. And if you wait 24 hours and then shecht it, then you need a bedika for simani trefa. And if the bedika comes out okay, it's going to be kosher. But you can't just wait 24 hours over here, because what are you going to do? You're going to bring this on the hopes that it's not a trefa? You can't do that in the Azar. You can't play games. You wouldn't bring that to your governor. You wouldn't take a risk like that. So you can't do that. So says Nami Livdika. Even if it's if it fell, we could be bodikit after the shechita. So. Whether it became a trefa by and the way to be bodek is I'm sorry, not after, before the shechita you could be bodekid, because the way to be bodekid is make them all walk, and if they are all able to walk, then you know it's not a trefa, because the nefula is not gonna be able to walk. So kasavar amda tzricha me'es le'es. No, the Reish Lakish holds like the Tana that holds that if a nefula stands up, you still need to wait 24 hours, and then you could shecht it and then be bodek for simani trefa. Halcha, if it walks, even though it doesn't, you don't need to wait me'es le'es, but tzricha bedika, it still will require a bedika, meaning you're not guaranteed that it's not a trefa just because it walked. Even if it walks, you still have to be choshesh. So that's what he's assuming. Third possibility, Rabbi Yirmiya Amar, kigon di ariv bivlad trefa, that the tarovis was not the actual trefa itself, it was the offspring of a trefa, which has a din of a trefa. Kol yotzei min ha'tameh tameh, kol yotzei min ha'trefa is a trefa. Rabbi Lazar, he da amar vlad trefa liyukam gabim zech, and we're assuming like Rabbi Lazar that a vlad trefa is not a kosher or carbon. So why did each shita, we had three shitas as to how to explain our mission, why did each one not want to say like the others? So kuluk Rabbi Yana lo amri, none of them wanted to say like Rabbi Yana. Because you could see the difference between an injury that's caused by being attacked versus a thorn. Hi mashach, hi ogle. One is a rounder, one is a scrape. Kareish lakish lo amri. No one wants to say like Reish Lakish, because kasavri amda inetzricha meis leis halcha inetzricha bedika. That if the animal walks, then you're good. You know it's not a trefa. It doesn't require any further examination. And Rabbi Yirmiya lo amri, Rabbi Lazar lo mukmi. And they don't want to say like Rabbi Yirmiya, because they don't want to assume, like the Shita of Reb Lazar, that a Vlad Trefa cannot be brought on the Mizbeach. They hold the Vlad Trefa can be brought on the Mizbeach. Okay, B'ezras Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from there. I gotta go.